Once again to the Pastor's Study. This is Brother Gino. We're going to continue our series of studies that we've been doing in Psalm 119. We're going to be in verses 73 to 80 of Psalm 119. And our title of our study today is Longings of a God-Fearing Man. Longings of a God-Fearing Man. So let's turn in our King James Bibles to verses 73 and 80. Let's read down there together in the Word of God. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I may be not ashamed. Now, this stanza forms an interesting introversion, or an inverted outline. In verse 73, we have prayer. The psalmist writes, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. In verse 74, we see godly fear. He says, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me. Under that we have affliction in verse 75. Thou in thy faithfulness hast afflicted me. Then we see in verse 67, God's mercy. Let I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort. Again we see God's mercy. In verse 77, let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live. And then we see affliction again. In verse 78, they dealt perversely with me without a cause. And then we have again in verse 79, godly fear. Let those that fear thee turn unto me. And then again, we end up with prayer again in verse 80. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Verses 76 to 80 all begin with the word let. The psalmist here is expressing the longings of his heart. In our study today, the longings of a God-fearing man, we see, is broken into five main points. Number one is he longed for communion with God. Number two, he longed for companionship with others who feared God. Point number three, he longed for comfort in his afflictions. Point number four, he longed for conviction concerning the lies of God's enemies. And point five, he longed for a courageous heart in the Word of God. Let's begin. Point number one, he longed for communion with God. Look at in verse 73. He says, the psalmist writes, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. You see, God did not make you and I in vain. Amen. In fact, let's turn to Psalm 89. Psalm 89 for a moment, in verse number 47. We read, "Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain?" You see, God made us to fellowship with Him. The psalmist believes in creation. Amen. Not evolution. Praise the Lord. He says, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me." He's talking to God. He says, "God, you've created me. You've made me. You've fashioned me." You see, man, despite what the so-called scientists and humanists and liberals want to tell you, man is not the outcome of some cosmic accident. He is a direct creation from the hand of Almighty God. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 for a minute. I want us to look at one verse, verse 7. This is what God says. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." That's who we came from. Amen. God created you and I. We're not some product of evolution. Amen. God spoke the worlds into existence. Man was handmade by God. We're, each one of us is unique. Each one of us was handmade by Almighty God. Think about it. We weren't mass-produced in a factory. We didn't all happen as a result of some cosmic accident, amen? Our ancestors didn't crawl out of the water. We didn't come from an amoeba, amen? Man is fearfully and wonderfully made, is he not? In fact, Jesus confirmed the creation of man. Looking in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19 for a moment. In Matthew chapter 19, once you get there, Matthew 19, look at verse number 4 with me if you would. Matthew 19, verse number 4. We read, "And he answered and said unto them," this is Jesus speaking now, Have you not read? He's saying, have you not read what? The scriptures. They had the scriptures, the Genesis account. "Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?" Amen. He made them male and female, not female and female, male and male, but male and female. Amen. And you see, God, he doesn't make any junk. Being fashioned after God's image, man longs to know God. And God made you for a purpose. And that purpose is to know and to glorify him. Amen. My friend, God has the answers in life that you and I need. The psalmist wrote, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments." See? He's saying, God, you made me, you fashioned me. I'm coming to you for the answers that I need in this life. And I'm coming to the one, to you, who made me and fashioned me. Who better to go to? Amen? Let's move on to point two here. The psalmist, he longed for companionship with others who feared God. First in verse 74. "They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Verse 79, let those that fear thee turn unto thee, and those that have known thy testimonies. So he longed for companionship with others who feared God. As you commune with God, what's going to happen is you will be drawn to others who commune, who are also in communion with God. Amen? Who is glad to see you when you show up? It says in verse 74, they that fear thee, fear God, will be glad when they see me. People who fear God like to be around people who fear God. Praise the Lord. People who fear the Lord have common interests. Again, verse 79, let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. You will be tomorrow, my friend, what you are today, apart from the books you read and the company you keep. So people who fear the Lord have something in common. What is that? They have a love for God and the Word of God. Amen. That's who you want to hang around with, friends. If you're saved, if you're born again, if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, then you should be hanging around people. First of all, you should fear God, and you should love the Word of God, and you should love God, and those are the kind of people you should be hanging around with. Amen. Point number three. The psalmist, he longed for comfort in his afflictions. 75 to through 77. He said, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. God in his faithfulness has afflicted the psalmist and afflicts us, you and I. He's faithful. If he didn't afflict us when we needed to be afflicted, then he wouldn't be faithful. Verse 76, let I pray thee thy mercy, merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. See, there was what he's saying here, there was comfort. The psalmist says there was comfort in knowing where his affliction came from, here in verse 75, because he knew they came from the Lord. And you know what? It's a comfort, knowing that his affliction came from the Lord. And why is that? It's a comfort knowing that God is always right, even when you and I don't like it. Amen? Hello? It's a comfort, knowing that the affliction's coming from the Lord, number one, and we know the Lord is always right. He knows what he's doing. Amen? You know, afflictions and hurricanes have a lot in common. Hurricanes are not all bad. They are necessary to maintain a balance in nature. Scientists now tell us these tropical storms with winds up to 150 miles per hour and torrential rains are tremendously valuable. They help dissipate a large percentage of the oppressive heat which builds up at the equator. And they are indirectly responsible for much of the rainfall in North and South America. Meteorologists therefore no longer use cloud seeding techniques to prevent them from being formed. They are convinced that hurricanes actually do more good than harm. You see, the Bible teaches us that afflictions are like that. Though they bring temporary pain and grief, they can produce eternal dividends. Amen? You know, think about pruning for a moment. Sometimes a plant needs to be hurt to stimulate growth and fruitfulness. A fruit tree needs to be pruned. I don't know if you, any of you have any fruit trees on your property. Amen. I used to have a couple of apple trees. Amen. A lot of work. Amen. A lot of pruning. But boy, I tell you, it really reaped, produced a bountiful supply of delicious apples. Amen. So fruit tree needs to be pruned. And in fact, sometimes the bark on the tree's trunk needs to be lacerated or scarified, and the reason for that is to spur new growth. Would a gardener be faithful who did not prune? Amen? Of course not. That's why we read here in verse 75, he said, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. He's pruned you. Amen. He's been faithful in doing that because he wants to produce fruit. He wants us to be fruitful. Amen. Think about the potter. The potter must pound and work the clay to get the small stones out. Would a potter be faithful who left stones in the clay? Of course not. And in fact, what was produced would be inferior. Amen. You see, the psalmist had comfort in knowing, I'm still getting better. Amen. I'm still getting better than I deserve. In verse 36, he talks about merciful kindness. Amen. He says, let I pray thee thy merciful kindness be for me my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. In fact, in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 39, Jeremiah reminds us, wherefore doth the living man complain? Amen. We don't have a reason to complain. We have God's. He's doing what he's doing. He's bringing affliction and faithfulness. He knows we need it. It's for a purpose. But while he's doing it, he's also showing us merciful kindness. You see, there's no comfort in Buddha. There's no comfort in Buddha. All you have to do is look at a Buddhist monk. They're not happy. Amen. Look at the average Muslim. There's no comfort in Muhammad. In verses 76 to 77, let me read those. Let I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. You see, there is a constant need and desire for a sense of God's tender mercies in the life of one who fears the Lord. Let's move on to point number 4. The psalmist, he longed for conviction concerning the lies of God's enemies. Look at in verse 78. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without cause, but I will meditate in thy precept. Compare that verse with verse 69 of Psalm 119. The proud have forged a lie against me. He's saying in essence here, God, let not my enemies triumph over me. If the proud enemies of God are not made ashamed by the way they live, it says to the world that they are all right, and the way the godly live is no better. So he's saying, don't let my enemies triumph over me. Amen. He said, let them not be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. Don't let them get away with it, Lord. And of course, God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Let's turn to Psalm 83 for a moment. There's another verse I want us to read in relation to this discussion. Psalm 83, verse 16, it says, fill thy face with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. He's talking about those. He's talking, the psalmist here is talking about his enemy, his enemies, to fill God, to fill their face with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord, that they will see that they need God. See, he longed for conviction concerning the lies of God's enemies. He's saying, if my enemies triumph over me, it means either there is something wrong with God, or there's something wrong with me. So he longed for conviction concerning the lies of God's men. He wanted them to be convicted. He didn't want them to triumph over him. Amen? Our last point here is, he longed for a courageous heart in the Word of God. He longed for a courageous heart in the Word of God. Let's go back to Psalm 119, verse 80. He said, let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not afraid. What a better place for your heart and my heart to be sound. You know what I mean? There'd be nothing wrong with it. Amen. Something that's sound is sturdy. You know, one of the things God is, he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. Amen. So he's asking, he's longing for a courageous heart in the Word of God. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. You see, the Word of God calms our fears. Amen. We can draw courage from the Word of God, because within the Word of God, we have God's promises. You know, maybe some of you are feeling forsaken or all alone or like nobody cares. But Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And it's a blessing what the Apostle Peter wrote under the inspiration of the Spirit. He says, casting all your care upon him, referring to Jesus, for he careth for you. In fact, David prayed this in Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And so what David's saying here is he would have fainted. Amen? He would have quit. He would have given up. He said, but I didn't. He said, unless I believe to see the goodness of the Lord. Through whatever David was going through at the time, God showed David his goodness. Amen. And that's what kept him going. He says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And if we wait on him, be patient. Be of good courage, be established in the Word of God, amen, then the results are going to be is God will strengthen thine heart. And then he emphasizes it again, wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalmist here in verse 80, longing for a courageous heart in the Word of God. We can be courageous, amen. as the psalm says, standing on the promises of God. If you're standing on the word of God, if you're trusting in the promises of God, if you establish your heart on the word of God, then as a result, you'll have a courageous heart. You'll be able to go through the trials and tribulations of this life and not faint. God will show you his goodness as you go through that affliction. He will strengthen your heart if you'll wait on him and not quit and not give up. I just pray that our hearts be sound in the faith and filled with the Word of God. You know, quite honestly, Christians' hearts, unfortunately, today are filled with so many other things. They're filled with the things they see on TV. They fill up on, now don't get me wrong, there are good, some good gospel preaching tapes, amen. But gospel tapes, preaching tapes that have contained studies in the Word of God are good. But you know what? We need to fill up on the Word of God as Christians. And if we'll do that, amen, our hearts will be sound in the faith and what we believe. A lot, you know, it's sad. A lot of Christians don't even know what they believe and why they believe it. You know, they don't know. They can't go to the scriptures. Amen. And when the cults come along, sometimes if they're snatched right up. We need to fill ourselves with the Word of God. We need to... Let me find it here. It's in Romans 12. I love what Paul said. In Romans chapter 12. People always complain, why can't I know the will of God? How can I know the will of God for my life? Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you can't be transformed, your mind can't be renewed, if you're spending more time watching TV or listening to some garbage or watching some garbage, amen? You need to fill up on the Word of God. Amen? So we see here then, point number 5 as we close our study, he longed for a courageous heart in the Word of God. And that's where the source of a courageous heart is found, in the Word of God. Amen. Well, that's all the time we have on the pastor's study today.